Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Welcome to week 31 of the I Thirst follow-up. We'll start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're talking about sacraments with regards to our family and their need for sacraments. And so the difficulty about this age is that a lot of people put off things until much, much later. And so, for example, confirmation or even Holy Communion or baptism of children. And here a very difficult one is holy matrimony. These sacraments have been relegated to a corner and just saying, I'll just deal with it later. I just want to live a fun life, a beautiful life, you know, that's exciting, etc. And I'll just do the sacraments a little bit later when I have time. Here, the mentality obviously is not correct. We always have to put God first, and we have to, of course, make sure that our family knows the importance of the sacraments. The sacraments are the way to heaven. It's so important to see that without the sacraments, we have nothing. We need the sacraments in order to get to heaven. This is the ordinary way that God has deemed for us to get to heaven. And in this world, people are just saying, it's not my way. And so we really have to see Jesus gave us these sacraments, and with great love, patience, and charity, and great prudence, we have to make sure that our family knows the importance of the sacraments. So we'll start with baptism. Here, the baptism of children is so important because really the effect of original sin is very deeply felt, even if they don't know it. Here, the children, when they are affected with original sin, they will actually be, you know, even crazier children, you know, in a certain way. You know, baptism really cleanses original sin, and it also helps to heal a lot of the difficulties in different children. And it could be, you know, if God wills it, obviously, that after the baptism of children, they can really grow in a beautiful, patient way. And here, basically, you know, they are really a slave of Satan before baptism. This is a very important kind of mindset that we have to see, that here their souls do not have the life of God in them. So they're really something that belongs to the devil. This is a very important mindset. It sounds harsh, but at the same time, this is just to show the gravity of it, because here, you know, the child has original sin, and we really have to see that that's something so serious. People don't realize how serious it is, but then really even putting in it in this terms, that they don't have the life of God, their soul is dead with regards to original sin. They need that life in them, because right now the kingdom of death, it's ruled by the devil, you know. And so here we have to see how important baptism is and how it protects us from Satan. This is a very important thing. You know, obviously you want to couch these words with prudence. You know, it's, you know, you don't tell your, you know, relatives, you know, your child is going to be it's a spawn of Satan because they haven't gotten baptized yet. Of course, that's not going to help, you know, the situation. But here, just to show you how important, you know, baptism is, you know, there was a priest of ours, and he went into jail, and he did jail ministry. He didn't go to jail, but, you know, but he was in jail ministry, and he said amongst the prisoners, you can clearly see who was baptized and who was not. It's just so clear. In prisons, there's a lot of witchcraft that is practiced, you know, help me to get out, you know, any kind of power, you know, they will say something like that. And there's a lot of witchcraft, you know, they will, you know, sacrifice their food to, you know, whatever higher, you know, demonic power or something like that, however they phrase it. And, you know, the demons are really in there. And the people who are baptized actually are more protected than those who are not, you know. And so you can really, really see that the people who have a hold The demons have a hold on those who are not baptized much more strongly, because again, if you don't have the life of God in you through grace, I mean, here the demons will have just complete control. If the life of God is in you, the demons are not going to touch you, you know, this, or at least have a very difficult time touching you. And so this is a very important thing to see, that we need to really baptize our children as soon as possible. Don't let parties and all those kind of things and these big, you know, hullabaloo things just get in the way, right? We need to make sure that, you know, the baptism happens in a timely manner. It should be less than 2 months according to canon law, right? So it should be a month to 2 months, but less than 2 months. And, you know, that child really needs it as soon as possible. In the ancient mindset of the church, you know, here babies got baptized just basically right after they're born, you know, or like a week after they're born or something like this. It's really, really fast, because they knew we need the life of God in these children so they can grow up in a good way. You know, the next thing is Holy Communion. There's a lot of children who, just because they don't know their catechism, and because they would go to public school or something like this, and then they never go into the parish program, they never receive their first Holy Communion. And here they're in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, and they haven't received their Holy Communion, or even in high school. We've had cases like this. And why is this? Is again, because it's too much work in order to, you know, get my child to these parish programs, you know. And so here, you know, we really have to put everything in perspective, because we are fed by the Eucharist. We need the Eucharist. And tied to the Eucharist, obviously, we need confession. And here, just nobody knows really, like, that's an overstatement, but so few people know how to go to confession, because they just don't go regularly, and nobody really taught them that they have to confess their mortal sins in number and kind. Number and kind, number and kind. Cannot repeat that enough, right? Number and kind, confess the mortal sins in number and kind. Venial sins, you can confess in number and kind if you wish, but it's not necessary. But the mortal sins, yes, you must, you must, you must, you must, you must, in order to have a complete integral confession, right? And so here, nobody's really taught this. They're not taught what to say, what to do, and so then they're just not going to confession because they don't know how to do it. And so here, just kind of putting all those things off because of whatever gets in the way. Really, this is all a tactic in order to steal souls away from the kingdom of God. And so we really have to, you know, show people the beauty of confession, how it's just so amazing to go to confession. It's just giving everything to God through the priest, and it doesn't cost $300 an hour, you know, to see, you know, this priest, because it's absolutely free, right? It costs $200, $100 in order to see a psychiatrist, psychologist, or whatever it is. Right here, you know, to try to talk through our problems, and, you know, it's just basically talking about our problems, you know. And here in confession, we can just release all these things to God and, you know, get advice, and it's all free. And so here, the beauty of confession, how people have been changed by confession, is just amazing. And then, of course, the Holy Eucharist, how there are so many beautiful Eucharistic miracles. The Eucharistic miracles are real. They are still happening today. There are scientists who have looked at how is it possible that, you know, this piece of bread is interwoven on the microscopic level with human flesh. You know, this is existing right now. You know, scientists have looked at this, and how is this possible? You know, these Eucharistic miracles, we just have to show this is real. God is telling us, come to Mass so that you can receive the Eucharist. And here we have to just catch people so that they can see the beauty of the Mass. And then a lot of things also happen when people, again, delay their confirmation, when, again, confirmation is needed so that we can fight against the evil forces of this world and really defend our faith with true love and be strengthened. Confirm means to be strengthened in the faith. You know, here we have a lot of people who are just so kind of weak, and, you know, we are all weak, really, but here not educated in the faith, and so they don't know how to combat different things. And here we need to have confirmation so that we can be strengthened, so that the Holy Spirit can enlighten our minds, and we can just really see how to save souls. And then with marriage. Marriage is a sacrament, again, that people, again, relegate. If they even care about matrimony anymore, they really, again, just do a civil marriage, at least, maybe not even that. And some people are just living together for years upon years upon years upon years because they're holding on to this this desire just to live a free lifestyle, so not as to be burdened by anything. And so here we see that nobody is ever happy by just kind of constantly trying out something. You know, we have to sacrifice everything for someone in order to be happy, you know, and then have somebody do that for us. You know, that's what marriage is. You're both dying to each other so that you can live for God in each other, you know, completely. You know, to have somebody, just see somebody love you so much that they will do anything for you, you know. In other words, they will sacrifice, they will not complain, they will take care of the children, they will do the chores, they will do whatever it is, right? Because they love you, right? And because you'll do the same thing for them. That is such a beautiful love. It's not just constantly like, I can't trust you, so I'm going to live with you for 30 years, and I don't even know if I can trust you after that. And, you know, what kind of love is this? You know, it's just not sacrificial. We are made for sacrificial love. And so here, you know, really showing how people, you know, can get their marriages blessed. This is a really important thing. You know, here, if their marriage is not blessed, they got a civil marriage. Obviously, they cannot receive communion because they need to go to confession. But you can't go to confession unless, again, you have a firm purpose of amendment. And if these people are living together, they're not married, then usually they're having relations, which you cannot have, right? So that's why before all of that, they need to get their marriage blessed, then they can go to confession, then they can go to Holy Communion. And so here, really seeing that, you know, you need your marriage blessed, it's actually very simple. All you do is go to the parish office and they will expedite to the process for you. You know, people are like, why did I wait so long for, like, you know, this knowledge to get my marriage blessed? And I could have been going to confession and communion a lot faster, you know. And here it is. All it is just go to the parish office and get it blessed, you know. And I obviously, you know, start the process there. The priest will bless it for you, you know. And so here, you know, just we have to get all that done, and we have to have that beautiful sacrament there so that we can really have a man and a woman really being imitations of Christ who died for the church, and the church who lives completely for Christ. And here, that beautiful mutual sacrifice where Christ pours out all of his blood for the church, and the church again gives everything to Christ, her husband. And this is the image of marriage that, you know, we really, really need. And so here, when we really are trying to get our families to understand the sacraments, we ourselves have to understand the sacraments and how necessary they are. They are the path to heaven. The ordinary path to heaven is through the sacraments. We need them. They're so beautiful. They're gifts from heaven, literally, and they change people's lives, you know. And here, really just seeing the beauty of that and conveying that beauty and really showing it's actually not that difficult. You know, if you find a priest who's willing to sit down, you know, go to the parish office, please help me to get these programs started so that I can learn about my faith, so I can have my marriage regularized, so then I can go to confession and then communion and then really, you know, pass on everything. Because as soon as the marriage is irregular, you know, here they're living in a civil union, then the children are not baptized. It just makes it so much more difficult. Then the children, are, again, just have to suffer through just a lack of education. But the whole point is here, when we do that step, it's a beautiful sacrifice for the couple, for each other, but most of all, a beautiful sacrifice of time and everything that they are for God. And then God blesses that. God always blesses marriage, and this is the beautiful thing, that he will make it fruitful in spiritual ways and in ways that we could never imagine. And so here, let's, with great love and prudence, you know, approach these topics, that we need the sacraments in our family. We have to use the most love, the most prudence, because we want to capture these souls so that they can then drink from the fountain of the sacraments in order to gain eternal life. And so we pray for all families, and we pray for all in the world that they may come to the sacraments, which are the gateway to the heart of Jesus. Amen.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.